In traditional language, Christians speak of the first member of the Trinity, the Father, the second member, the Son, and the third member, the Spirit, as if they could be put in order of importance. Why is it important to sort out the functions of each of the three? Welcome to The Good Word. I'm Alden Thompson, your host and study guide author, as we continue our series on the Holy Spirit and spirituality. My conversation partners are again Jen Ogden, Associate Pastor of the Walla Walla University Church, and Paul Dibdall of the Walla Walla University School of Theology. All right, let me toss that question out to you. Why do we need to sort out the function of each one, or is that just something we inevitably do when we talk about God?
Well, we're trying to understand more about God, so it makes sense that when we have information, we want to try to deal with it in some kind of way that makes sense to us logically. So I think we try to define and describe and put in categories and all that. I'm not sure that it is all that important to sort out the functions of each of the three, as you asked in your question, but I think that's something we kind of naturally attempt to do. Did I avoid the question?
No, that was good.
Okay.
Jen?
No, I agree. I think that we do try to categorize very easily, because I think it makes it somewhat more comprehensible for us then to be able to relate to something when we can categorize it, because we feel like we can understand it more. And so I think we try and do that with God as well. In some sense, it makes great sense because it enables us to connect and to dialogue and all of that with God. But sometimes I think it can also limit God if we get too specific and too limited as to what God can do.
And, of course, there are certain things in life where it's important to have your ducks lined up in an order. If I take my car in to get it worked, I want the guy to know something. I don't want him just to pray over the thing.
Yeah. May not get you very far.
That idea of the first member or first person of the Godhead, and second and third, was that – I'm not sure how that came about, but was that intended to show a kind of hierarchy within the Trinity or not? Do you know? Or is it just –
well,
there's
that's a good
three,
question.
So you mean
– You know, I've just – that's the language we've used.
Yeah.
And now that you ask the question, Paul, it triggers, you know, where did that language come from? First member is the Father. And, of course, we tend to think of the Father's on the throne. He's always there, see? And then, of course, he became – human being, and once he did that, then there's no way of emphasizing that God is everywhere present except through the Spirit.
Spirit, yeah.
Although I would suggest, and this is where Old Testament scholars say, in the Old Testament, you don't have the Trinity in the same way. You have more of a corporate personality, and God makes himself known through his arm. You know, as Gordon Balhar used to say, if, you know, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool, that means God has very long legs, you see. But, so it's more Christian. In fact, it took something like 300 years before the Trinity was defined in such a way that Christians could be comfortable with it.
Well, yeah, and there were some that never were, right?
Right, that's right. See. And even in the early history of the Adventist community, now we're supposed to be talking about the divinity of the Holy Spirit, and I think that is important. But, boy, there were early Adventists who didn't want to talk about the divinity of Christ and didn't want to talk about the divinity of the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know that I understand why they found that difficult. Do you? Can you guess why they would resist that?
Well, I think the Spirit is to some degree mystery, as we've talked about in past weeks. It's to some degree misunderstood or not fully able to be understood in our present state. And I think that can be really nerve-wracking, because we do like to quantify and qualify and make sure we can clarify. And if we can't do that, it can be frightening. And so I think sometimes our reactions and our definitions in Christianity limit God because of our own fears.
Yeah. You know, years ago, we had a teacher at WAVA who was actually called on the carpet for heresy, because he was articulating the fact that you have the Father and the Son, and the Holy Spirit is kind of a glue that holds the two together. See, so he was denying the Trinity and was saying the Holy Spirit is a glue that holds them together. Well, they had a committee appointed, and I remember Larry Lewis, was a member of that committee, and he says, man, if you think this teacher is a heretic, you should hear some of the people on the committee. Yeah.
You know, I do a lot of Bible studies with young kids about the Trinity and trying to explain the concept of three and one and all with the same importance and same necessities. It can be really difficult. And so
What's your favorite model?
My favorite model is an apple. A, because it's a wonderful snack at the end, but because it talks about the flesh and the Jesus of it and the God the Father who kind of holds it all together and is sovereign, and the core which gives life, new life, to dead places. So I like to use an apple and talk about the three main pieces of an apple and give that to the kids, and then they get to chew on it for a while. So it's fun. It just helps you think about, you know, it's one apple, but there's parts to it, and they have different functions within that apple, but it's all one apple.
So, Paul, what's your favorite model?
I've heard the egg. I've heard there's the shell, there's the white of the egg, there's the yolk of the egg. What's the other one? Water is the other one. It's in liquid form. It can be, you know, ice. It can be also vapor, steam, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know that any of them have really caught fire with me. I feel like maybe it's, I don't know. I feel bad now because the apple, that's a good one, Jen. And so it sounds
Thank
like,
you.
but for me personally, I guess just the way I think, I don't know that any of them have been particularly, I haven't had a real aha moment when listening to
one
to
that I've, it depersonalizes it, but it's like a desk, you know, with three dimensions, see, but that doesn't have the personal quality to it.
Yeah.
So, you don't have a desk unless you have height, depth.
Yeah.
With,
yeah, that's not very personal.
No,
personal,
it's not very personal,
but
yeah.
Warm and
cuddly, not very warm and
a
fuzzy.
Desk. So, yeah.
Go ahead. You had a
vision
there.
I feel bad that none of those models really speak to me. I feel almost guilty somehow now. But
well, as long as a low level of guilt, you can probably survive.
Yeah, I'll manage. I'll push through here.
Now, in our lesson, the official study guide lists some particular experiences in the Bible where it uses Spirit interchangeably with God. And that's how we know that the Spirit is God, because you have these passages of Scriptures that says the Spirit does it, and then we'll just, you know, go on and say, well, God did it, the Spirit. And I think that those are important. There is one passage that I'd like for us to take some time to work on, and maybe you can help our listeners and help the host here understand this passage. Romans 8, 26 and 27. Let me read it for us, because I think it's a crucial passage about the Spirit, and it might be able to help us. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Now, what do you make of the Holy Spirit as intercessor? Can you work that one so that the intercessor is God himself?
Can't you? I mean, why couldn't we? Seems like we could.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It seems to me that that's probably the best way to understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Same way with Jesus, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think of some of the discussions of Jesus' divinity, where you have a troubling statement by Ellen White that says, we must stand in the sight of a holy God without a mediator. That's kind of a scary one. But when you come to John 16, then you have that instead of being a threat, it's a promise. And I think Ty Gibson has one of the best sermons there. He says, why do you need a mediator? It's because they're two parties apart. And once you bring them together again, you don't need a mediator anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But if we are worried that God's not going to understand our prayers, that is, it's a great encouragement.
Oh, I love the passage. It's a wonderful passage.
Yeah.
Wonderful
mm-hmm.
passage. And I guess I see that it is a kind of practical comfort for the one who is struggling with weakness and doesn't know exactly how they should pray, mm-hmm. that they can know that God understands and God is with them in that process, not afar off waiting to see what they'll say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
And I think because of our tendency to try and parse God out into separate roles, we forget that God is God, mm-hmm. that the Spirit is God and mm-hmm. is talking to himself, you know?
Now, there's another question that I don't know how – we probably can't solve this in the little bit of time that's left again.
Let's give it a shot. Let's give it a shot.
Okay. What gain is there in pressing the issue of the personality of the Holy Spirit? Is there a perceived threat from mysticism if the church does not maintain the belief in the personhood of the Holy Spirit? Now, I don't know to what extent Adventists are shy about mysticism, but I think there are a lot of people who worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to get things too mushy here.
Mm-hmm,
you see.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So if you press the issue of Jesus as, I mean, the Holy Spirit as being a person, does that protect us against inappropriate mysticism?
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe you don't worry about mysticism.
No, I think we should. Well, it depends on how one defines that, certainly.
Yeah.
But that's a problematic. I think it's a problematic word.
Mm-hmm.
Because of its connections with things that would be contrary to biblical spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, yeah, we ought to be concerned about mysticism.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how the personhood of the Holy Spirit, I guess I could see a way that might help.
I mean, we had that one that we talked about before, Advocate, you know, that
yeah.
that really puts a face, almost puts a face on the Spirit. See, and that protects us then from this amorphous stuff.
I think mysticism is very much a walking away from God and godly principles on many levels. And so I think if you're connecting with God, I think it's very hard to say, but this is godly, you know, which mysticism is kind of this, as I feel it and as I experience it, this is what I will do. And it's kind of contradictory again to the principles of Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know that you could have the two of them, and you know, I think you would be falsely claiming it's Christian if it doesn't involve God in any way.
We want to be guided by God.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if it helps us to think of, you know, that process of guidance involving the Holy Spirit, which I think it is helpful, that's a good thing. And what I just said, I don't know if that even made sense to anyone but me, but rather than just waiting for some vague impression out there somewhere, we want communication with a personal God.
Yeah.
That's what we seek.
And we'll have a chance to talk about that next week, because our theme for next week is the personality of the Holy Spirit. So we'll have a chance to explore that question and press it home a bit more. My thanks to both of you for helping out. My thanks to Jared Miller, our program engineer, and to all of you for listening. For the Good Word, I'm Alden Thompson.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.